Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And you know the deal, man. We'll play the camel at the beginning of the show on midweek day, but at the end of the show, we have the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio. We talk through the issues. We ping each other with questions. We just find out what the opinions are. Sometimes we agree. Sometimes we don't. But let me call the roll from down yonder in South Alabama, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 out of Mobile. Oh, by the way, editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Also does work with Lanyap. Also does work with Breitbart. Hey, Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. And then turning northward, looking at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show, also does work with Yellowhammer, also allegedly is on other radio stations and TV stuff too. Apparently, we're calling him Dale Jackson. Are you there?
Hi.
Dale,
what? I kid at the exact same time.
Dale, you are coming in and out, man. We'll see if we can work with this. Are you sitting at the bar right now? What is happening?
I wish I was sitting at a bar. I'm picking up a kid from chess.
Okay. Well, as long as your kid's not playing chess in a bar. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. All right. Well, listen, Grand Council, we go with questions, and I'm going to see if Dale from the bar can go first. Dale, what you got?
Hey, look, don't blame me. Blame doesn't work. Here's my question. How are y'all stocks looking today?
Well, right now, they're looking awesome. I mean, everything on the market is like flying through the roof right now because Trump made his tariff change today. But I would assume, knowing that you're heavily leveraged in a lot of different ways and your portfolio is broad and wide because you are Dale Jackson, that yours is doing well. Am I right?
I looked the other day on my 401k. I was down about 13% on the week. So I haven't looked at that yet, but it wasn't looking great, but it's moving back in the right direction. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, everything bounced back. Jeff, chime in. The market, what are you thinking?
Well, the reason why you're down 13% now is all that cumulus stock in your portfolio. You would divest of that. You would be in good shape. I mean, I haven't looked at my portfolio, and I just refuse to. It's just not the way to live. I just put money in it and forget about it and let other people handle it. But no, I get it. I mean, like, people getting closer to retirement, the market getting wiped out, makes you a little on edge. I guess the older you get, the closer to retirement, you worry about it. And look, Trump's going to have to – he's going to have to answer for that. We can't just, like, play this downplay this. But I think at some point – things have got to turn around. I just think we're a long way from that point.
Well, but, okay, you guys sound like you both haven't seen the news. Have y'all seen the news about the tariffs being postponed for the
– Frozen, yes.
Yeah, okay. So they've been frozen, the majority of the exception of China, and the markets are, like, climbing rapidly right now. So I think what you're watching is the art of the deal right now. We'll wait and see where it goes, but he played chess while the rest of the world was playing checkers with their 401k. So I think we're on a good track right now, and that's not likely to change unless there's some new instability. Now, he can't keep doing this yo-yo thing every other day, but I think everybody got what happened. He responded to the markets. He found a way to reward those nations who are gonna negotiate, and here we are watching all the indicators go up. All right, fair enough. Simple question as you sit in the chess line. Jeff, what you got?
Well, how much longer does this go on, and how do you feel about the strategy? I mean, it sounds like you feel pretty good about it, Senator, but there's some things I feel like they could have done better, and do we think that this is the plan and we're going to stick with it, or is there, like, are we going to try to adapt and change things up sort of as conditions linger? I mean, as they, you know, countries react or whatever, is... do you think there's room for improvement?
Room for improvement in the manner and means by which he's doing it, or what are you asking?
I mean, you know, we're doubling down, tripling down, hanging out, or do you do you back off the some of the pledges? Is he hammer down Trump, or will he look at this and change his the trajectory of how beholden we are to this tariff regime?
So I think we got two things here, but they're running. One of them is running behind the scenes, but it may be one of the driving forces that China. Behind the scenes, I think, is part of the big factor here. This is a lot more than just tariffs and free trade with nations like Vietnam and India. This is putting China back on its heels, because if you notice, China went immediately into trade war posture, and we slapped 125% tariff on China today. China's on its heels, and then, oh, by the way, the SECDEF went down to Panama today, put China further on its heels by entering into an agreement with the Panama Canal Authority. And then the VP went to Greenland last week and talked about China having its Polar Silk Road disrupted by us having an interest now in Greenland. I think the vast majority of what you're looking at here is foreign policy, and the markets are just one of those tools to deal with China. That being said, no, I don't think he's going to change. This is what Trump does. I mean, it may not always be comfortable. It may not always be pleasant. It may not always be attractive. But he's made billions off of being fairly effective at shock and awe and negotiating the deals that he wants. Dale?
He's a 78-year-old man in his second term as president. This guy is not changing one bit. This is it. The chaos is the point. And you know, art of the deal. All the house is the point. So no, he is not changing.
What's your own question, Jeff? You think he should change?
I think there's some things that could be done better, to be honest.
Like what?
Look, I think the messaging is a little off. Like, people don't really understand what's going on. Not that he needs to win the court of public opinion, but it could be a little more easier to understand, because you do have a problem here with the media saying Trump's trying to tank the economy so that all his billionaire buddies can get richer, so whatever silliness that they're trying to send out. But I know Bessent's done a decent job. I think Lutnick's kind of a blowhard. I think that the messaging, to me, could improve. But also, like, just how they handle the sort of the ebbs and flows of the market, and explaining that too. But like, Senator, they just said we're trying to pin China down in a way like that, or got some surrogate to do it, maybe not officially from the White House, I think people will be a little more receptive to the policy.
I don't know that they want to announce it quite that way, but all the indicators are that's exactly what's happening. All right, last question, and I'm going to turn it back to the state with about 2.5 minutes. So you guys ran a story at 1819 today, Jeff. So the Ivey administration got kind of caught on the situation where you guys discovered that one of their appointees to the medical board, I believe, medical review board, has called Trump a Nazi.
Their health sciences board.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Called Trump a Nazi and went total rogue in his open public comments. Well, that's an Ivey appointee. And so rather than deal with it, they went back and changed the press release from 2024 where they had appointed the guy and took his name off of it and pretended they had nothing to do with it. Have you called the governor's office on this? And how do they get away with changing press releases and not dealing with actual news?
They called us as soon as we ran the story. And even Gina Mayola put out a tweet saying, like, we got it wrong. And
saying y'all got it wrong?
Hey, we got it wrong. I was like, wait a minute, I remember looking at that press release last night and checking it and what they had done. Now, the way she framed it was this individual, Will, whatever his name is,
Ferniani,
on the board and never, Ferniani, yeah, and never served on the board and doesn't serve on the board. I was like, I swear, I looked at the press release last
night. They appointed
him. I saw his name on it. Well, they did appoint him, but I guess because he didn't live in that district, he never served. But she did appoint him, nonetheless.
Okay.
But what they never corrected the press release. And all the stories that picked up that particular release had his name on it. Even the Alabama Health Sciences School Board still had that up on their site that he was on the board. And they just went in, took the old governor's press release and put someone else's name where his name was, like no one would notice. like August 2024 press release, and the night before, his name's on there. And the next morning, his name's gone. They put somebody else's name and acted like we got it wrong.
Well, the thing is, this is such an easy story to get ahead of. All you got to do is go, wow, that we didn't see that. And I'm glad that appointment never went through. If we'd known this, we never would have done it. And now we've taken his name off the list because he never actually took the office. But instead, they're playing smoke and mirrors.
If she hadn't gone on offense and acted like we got it all wrong, we wouldn't have had to humiliate her and point out that they went in 4, 5, 6 months later and changed a press release.
So
it's just unethical.
It's yes.
Wrong, fast and loose. I mean, totally, totally unethical to do that.
Yeah.
And that should tell you what you need to know about this governor.
And that's exactly where I was thinking. This is an unethical. All right, so Dale Jackson, weigh in on it then. What should we think about a governor's office that changes press releases rather than dealing with the issues?
There's something up. All you have to do is admit it, and that will absolve you from 70% of the problems. And all she had to say was, yeah, he was on there, and he's not now. And this is a big mistake that he put this thing out. We don't stand by it, but he never served. So leave us alone, Jeff Poore.
Jeff Poore and you 18, 19 rabble-rousers. You know, that's what we do. All right, listen, that's round one. That's good stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. Hey, by the way, we're in the Grand Council right now, and I got to remind you guys, the Grand Council is sponsored for you every single week by DeKalb MD. DeKalb MD, healthcare simplified. I'll tell you more about them here in just a few minutes. Let me jump on back in with the crew. So first question, second round, Dale Jackson, what you got?
All right, so we've talked a lot about school choice, talked a lot about illegal immigrants. Here's an interesting story. In Tennessee, they offered up a bill in the legislature that told illegal immigrants either show that you are legal or pay tuition to attend public schools.
Yeah.
They're trying to pass that. I'm guessing that does not pass constitutional muster. But it's an interesting thing to try to do to, I guess, not to send their kids to school. Not that that's something you should probably want as a state. What do you think about that idea? And would it hold up, Mr. Lawyer?
All right. So I cannot advise you as to what might or might not be in the Tennessee Constitution. I don't think it would stand up under the Alabama Constitution because the Alabama Constitution has a bona fide requirement to provide education to minors. So I don't know if Tennessee's has that verbiage or not. But the other piece of this is then you get into, okay, can you really charge tuition? Are they already paying taxes in the form that would fund education? So if theirs is a sales tax-based or income tax-based, it's a decision. If they're here illegally not paying income tax, and that's the funding source for education dollars in Tennessee, that arguably they haven't paid into the system, maybe they can be collected on. But if it's all funded by sales tax and they buy their stuff like everybody else and they're technically paying sales tax, I don't know that you can do a double fee on this. I don't know, man. It's an interesting question. I hate to do it, but when I was in law school, they taught us to always say, it depends. And I think in this case, it depends. What do you think, Jeff?
I like it as kind of a test question. The legislature passes the law, goes to court, and we see where court rules and they have to deliberate about it. Is it the best use of time for the Tennessee legislature? Maybe not. But I do like the idea in theory, and it's probably a good messaging bill too. So why not try it?
And here's what they can do too, Dale. I don't think they can do it in there. I think we can. We did it a few times down in Montgomery. You can get what's called an opinion of the justices. If it's not yet an active piece of legislation, which apparently this one is, you can actually, in advance, get an opinion of the justices as to whether this would pass constitutional muster so you know whether or not to waste your time. It's kind of like getting pre-certified. I don't know if they did that or not. I doubt it. Why? What are you hearing?
Well, it sounds like they're doing it to sort of test the waters and see if they can get a Supreme Court case. I guess there's been a Supreme Court case that basically says a guaranteed education, and they want to test that. So it sounds like that's what the premise of this is.
Well, more to come, but Tennessee's been leaving Alabama in the dust on some of their legislation. So, I mean, we got some good stuff going on here too, but But wow, Tennessee seems to be like game on here lately. All right, next question. Jeff, what do you got?
This is very exciting. Today, the Alabama State Senate approved its $10 billion ETF for the fiscal year 2026. However,
$10 billion, wow.
Maybe, this was disappointing. There's still $422,000 in it for the Magic City Acceptance Academy.
Oh, come on.
What? Yes. What are they not getting here? Isn't that kind of insane?
Well, are they going to leave it to the House? Is the House going to pull it? And then they have to reconcile the bill? Or is everybody just like, give them a pass? I mean, was there any debate on that at all?
That's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. It does.
Yeah, it does. It just sounds like, give them a pass. We don't want to fight this fight right now, even though they're probably in violation of the divisive concepts law, which has no teeth except that, hey, if you violate this law, we will take your appropriations away. And that has apparently not the case with this group. So I'm just saying, I think we've got a real problem here that needs to be highlighted if this ends up being
the final
budget.
Have you seen the budget language? You know, not just the dollar signs, but the budget language on that one. Does it have any earmarks? Or does it have anything attached to it? Like it says, this is a federal match, and as long as they get their federal money, they can have this too? Because, you know, the Trump administration may wind up holding off on sending any funds to that school. And then you wonder why the state would. Have you seen the budget language on that?
No, it's part of supplemental, though. So I don't. I mean, I'm just basing off of Caleb Taylor's reporting. Wow. Still see it in the wording in the bill.
Yeah, tell them
right there.
Tell them to pull the big fat budget, the actual real budget, not just the spreadsheets, and look at the budget language on that one and see if it has any caveats or exemptions or requirements attached to it. That might explain why it's in there, because there may be a story. Then again, there may not. There may just be a bunch of guys caving to the LGBTQ environment.
And real quick, I know the music's playing, but I think that they're afraid to pull it.
I think they are.
They think that they'll just raise it privately, and for some reason that's taboo.
Well, then let them do it. Let them raise it privately. That'd be awesome. They can be a private school, and they can hang their gay pride flags. That'd be the way to go. All right, I didn't get to ask my last question, but we're going to call it. The Grand Council, Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, appreciate both of you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.